Hello, Phil.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
What are you people, on dope?
Podcasting live from the Boar's Head Tavern in downtown St. Sadie's, Maryland. This is the voice of post-evangelicals everywhere. A voice of sanity in the midst of the evangelical wilderness. This is Internet Monk Radio.
Blech, my lips touch dog lips!
That would be gross, no doubt.
Guess who? It's 10 o'clock. Do you care where your parents are?
Pump up the volume. Great movie.
Time to be bad.
Yes, it is time to be bad. It is Internet Monk Radio time. And my name is Michael Spencer. This is Internet Monk Radio podcast number 68. Hello out there to my podcasting audience. Great to have you on board today. Been looking forward to putting together this week's podcast for quite some time, and hopefully we'll have some interesting stuff for you to listen to and talk about. Pass on to other people who may not know about this podcast, which you can get at iTunes and which you can find at my website, internetmonk.com.
Son, you are dumber than a bowl of mice.
Dumber than a bowl of mice apparently was the consensus opinion on me this week after I posted a post at internetmonk.com called Time for Ordinary Questions, and included in it the sentence, is it possible that we are sometimes too God-centered? And that created a whole rush of interesting and not so interesting posts. I'm going to take a couple of minutes and say a thing or two that, if you have been privy to that discussion, will make more sense. But if you haven't been privy to that discussion, you'll still, I hope, get what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is that every theologian that influences us, every theologian that we look up to and that has benefited us, deserves critical engagement on our part. In other words, I think that anybody who we study, listen to, read as a dependable source of theology and teaching and preaching deserves our critical engagement. Now, I'm going to name some people that have been very, very helpful to me. C.S. Lewis has been very helpful to me, and I have some critical engagement with Lewis in a variety of places, particularly in some of his ideas about purgatory, some of his ideas about the afterlife. There's a number of places where I would engage critically with Lewis. I am a very, very big fan of Ravi Zacharias, but I have some critical engagement with Ravi about apologetic method. I have some critical engagement with Ravi about issues that you might call issues of Reformation theology, particularly about the sovereignty of God and salvation. I am a 20-year-plus fan of John Piper. I have bought, through the ministry I'm a part of, hundreds of Piper books. Distributed hundreds of Piper books, distributed a bunch of Piper books this year. I am one of those people who sometimes gets a little bit irritating, I think, to others because of the amount of advocacy I give to Piper. I quote him a lot. We use his material in my men's Bible study. I've used his material many, many times in the large adult Bible study that I teach. I have many areas of critical engagement with John Piper. And with Piper in particular, the way he chooses to articulate his theology invites that. Nobody causes theology Christian hedonism and not invite critical engagement. In fact, Piper has printed in his books many times episodes of critical engagement between himself and other people, some of his own mentors, over his choice of concepts and his way of expressing himself. One of my favorite things about critical engagement with Piper is a piece written by Steve Brown, and I'll link it at internetmonk.com in the notes for this podcast. But Steve Brown took up the idea of, is the command, delight yourself in the Lord, ever a danger of becoming, is it ever in danger of becoming a kind of legalism? And I'll let you read what Brown says. And somebody might say, well, Steve Brown obviously doesn't like John Piper. And, well, you can read the beginning. He likes him a lot. He's obviously provoked to thought and consideration of the scriptures by what Piper says, but he doesn't agree completely. When I take men through Don't Waste Your Life, and when I take students through it this year, I point out a number of things in it that I think we need to say more about. I point out a number of things that I think are just absolutely wonderful. I point out some places where I disagree with Piper. I point out some places where I think Piper has improved in this book. There's a chapter in there about 8 to 5 secular vocations and callings that I think is very helpful, given some of the things Piper said that can be interpreted as sort of everybody should go to the mission field. So critical engagement to me is normal. It's normal as a way to read N.T. Wright. It's normal as a way to read anybody that I've listed that I like. It's normal when I've listened to preachers, both the pastors and preachers I sit under, and those that I read. If you have a problem with critical engagement with people that you like, I think you're selling them short. I think that they want you to read them and engage them critically. I don't think they want you to say whatever comes out of this person's mouth is unquestionable. I don't think they want you to say the quality of this person's Christian life is such that lowly me, can't in any way ever disagree. I sometimes am truly amazed that we get away with calling ourselves Protestants when we harp and carp and rant and rave about a Christian raising a question about a theological expression of someone. And it's as if somebody has stood up and said, I disagree with the magisterium and I'm declaring myself a new source of truth. I mean, what are we here? Are we supposed to be the noble Bereans? Are we supposed to be able to check out what Paul and Barnabas say with our Bibles? Are we allowed to be in that classroom mode and raise a question from the back and say, all right, what about this? Or how about that? Or are we just supposed to say, these guys are such heroes. They've got their books and they've got their churches and they've got their conferences. And it's my job to be a consumer, not a brother in the faith, not a member of the Christian community, but to be a consumer, somebody who simply says, you pump out the material and I'll take it in. And whatever you say to me, that's automatically right. You get the presumption of being automatically right. And woe to him who says, Lewis, Wright, Piper, Zacharias, Sproul might be wrong. I tell you, grow up, people. We need a critically engaged church in evangelicalism and not a bunch of drooling fanboys. One of the things I really enjoy doing is visiting used bookstores, and there are not that many of them close to me, so I was really delighted when my friend Joel Hunter told me that he had discovered a very nice used bookstore in Berea, Kentucky. And Berea is about an hour and 15 minutes from me, which is pretty close in Eastern Kentucky terms. And the name of the bookstore, I believe, is Roby and Roby. It's R-O-B-I-E. And the whole family went up there yesterday and had a great time. I want to tell you about a couple of things that I found. I found a wonderful book of sermons by Clarence Jordan. It's called The Substance of Faith and Other Cotton Patch Sermons by Clarence Jordan. And this is 1972. I'm familiar with a lot of Jordan's Bible translations, and I have a book of his sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. But this is one I've never seen before. The Substance of Faith and Other Cotton Patch Sermons by Clarence Jordan. Now, if you don't know who Clarence Jordan is, he is the Southern Baptist who began what was first called Koinonia Farms in Americus, Georgia. Today it's Koinonia Fellowship. Was a pioneer in race relations in the South, and even more of a pioneer in race relations with Southern Baptists. He was a PhD in Greek from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's a real hero for those of us who count Southern as our alma mater. And I'm really looking forward to reading those sermons because I've heard a lot of audio excerpts of Clarence Jordan on the DVD, Briars and the Cotton Patch. If you never watched that, you should watch it. It tells the story of Jordan and Koinonia, and he's on there quite a bit. The other book I have in my hand here is an anthology of poetry, and I'll tell you in a minute the name of it. Silly little quest that I've been on for several years now. I use the movie Dead Poets Society in my English 3 classes, and if you've seen that movie, you'll know that at one of the textbooks in the English class taught by Robin Williams is a book called 5 Centuries of English Verse. It's a big blue anthology, 5 Centuries of English Verse. Well, being a big fan of that movie, I decided I wanted to get my hands on this book. Now, best sources that I've been able to access tell me that the book does not exist. And I'm not completely ready to buy that. That may be true. I don't know. But anytime I go in a used bookstore, I'm on the lookout. And so I've got in my hand 7 Centuries of Verse, English and American, anthology by A.J.M. Smith. And on the front cover, 7 Centuries of Verse, English and American. So I'm still looking for that one icon from the movie Dead Poets Society, and I haven't quite got my hands on it yet. I'm getting very, very close. Also wanted to mention that I've been reading Ravi Zacharias' book, The Grand Weaver. I'm going to be writing a review of it very soon. I actually have been asked by the publisher to review the book. I was going to anyway. And the book is every bit as good as I anticipated that it would be. I am just amazed that this book has come together in such a wonderful way for my life at a time that I needed to hear it. It is a book about really coming to see yourself as an expression of God's uniqueness and of God's plan to create unique human beings to glorify Him in unique ways. The book is about how we discover that God has put us together and put our lives together and the various strands of our lives together in a way that gives our lives meaning. And this is a great theme for me in the middle of life. And I was telling a friend today that I've gotten to the middle of life, but I really haven't read anything much about the middle of life. Well, this isn't about the middle of life, but it certainly is good reading for those who might be interested in that very thing. I had a lot of time this afternoon in the car. I was going to an appointment and got there quite a bit early, so had some time in the car, and I listened to the entire interview between Stand to Reason's Greg Kokel and a recent Roman Catholic convert, Francis Beckwith. Beckwith is, of course, a professor at Baylor University, resigned as president of the Evangelical Theological Society, returned to the church in which he was baptized as a child, in which he grew up, the Roman Catholic Church. Greg Kokel, who's a well-known apologist, also was born in a Roman Catholic family, was Roman Catholic till he was 16, and then became an evangelical Christian. These guys have written books together. They have co-authored a book, I believe, called a book on relativism. I don't know the title. So they have a relationship, and Beckwith agreed to do an extended program with Kokel, 2 hours. And I would recommend you go to the Stand to Reason website and download the podcast. It is a very interesting conversation between two people who have a personal relationship, a personal friendship, and yet now they differ very fundamentally over some very, very important things. There are so many Catholic-Protestant conversations that happen in, you know, kind of the context of debate or radio talk shows with people yelling at each other. And so this program is certainly different, and it's very warm and engaging. A couple of things I want to say about it. It's pretty clear that Francis Beckwith is not attempting to be Scott Hahn. He's not trying to fill the role of a Roman Catholic apologist. Nonetheless, as a theologian and as someone who was seen as a stalwart of evangelical theology, at least in the area of ethics, he's going to get a lot of questions. And Greg Kokel asked him a lot of theological questions. He used a lot of scripture to make his points. He went right to the things that I think most of us want to ask our thoughtful Roman Catholic friends about authority and justification. It was a very frank exchange. In fact, I wrote on the Boar's Head that, you know, in one sense, it gets very annoying to me that you hear so much that seems to be, oh, there is no difference, there is no difference, there's just a slight, you know, difference in vocabulary, but we're saying the same thing. There was quite a bit of that. There was a real avoidance of some of the more sticky issues like the universalism that seems to be in post-Vatican II Catholicism at points, indulgences and purgatory, some very good questions that Greg Kokel asked about that that just never really made it to the ground. But the issue of authority and the issue of justification were pretty clearly articulated as differences in a way that I think anybody can appreciate. And you could listen to the discussion of these two issues, and if you're not clear on what the real essential differences are and what the similarities are, but what the real essential differences are, I really want to commend Kokel for not spending much of time on Mariology and things that are secondary matters, but getting right to the chase with the issue of justification and the issue of authority. And Kokel asked many questions in, I thought, a very helpful way. However, the other thing I want to say is that as the interview went on, Beckwith became a little frustrated that he wasn't able to talk about his story of conversion, which he really wanted to do. And it did remind me that all of us, I think, see our spiritual journey as being the thing we most want to share with our Christian brothers and sisters, even those who don't agree with us. We have a desire to share our journey, how we've come to know God in Jesus Christ, and how that experience is an experience that's taking us through life and is doing things in our life as we go through life. And it would be great if, you know, all of us who have friends with whom we differ significantly, Roman Catholic friends or whatever the differences happen to be, if we could sit down and say, let's not talk about doctrinal differences at all today. Let's just talk about our individual journeys with God and how we got to where we are now and what's most meaningful to us in that journey. I think everybody would leave that conversation feeling good. Well, I appreciate you being in here with me today. I have not plugged the theology program in this podcast. I need to just tell you that if you go to the internetmonk.com website, there's a link there to the theology program, reclaimingthemindministries.org, and you will be really pleased with what's there, available free, or if you'd like to purchase the materials, or if you're in a place you can, take the classes. Great theology resources from Reclaiming the Mind Ministries. And this has been Internet Monk Radio, podcast number 68. My name is Michael Spencer. You can find me on the web at internetmonk.com. You can also listen to our other podcast, Coffee Cup Apologetics, which is up to episode number 16. You can find that at ccapologetics.com. Excuse me, ccapologetics.wordpress.com. And you can also find both these podcasts on iTunes. Until next time, I'll see you.